Alrighty. Hello, everyone. Jesus Christ.
I had to cough.
That's good.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Deceptively Athletic Podcast. I am Tony Romanello, and with me, as always, is Mark Jakowski. What's up, Mark? Marshall Hartman. What's up, Marshall?
What's up, man? How's it going?
Pretty good. And Greg Stefanik. What's up, Greg?
Yo.
All right, so Sunday was the Super Bowl. Pretty good game, would you guys say?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Solid.
It was a great game.
Solid.
Honestly, like, the most fun football game I've, like, seen in probably a couple of years.
No, yeah, it was really good. It was definitely one of my favorite Super Bowls I've watched in recent memory that I can remember off the top of my head.
A lot of big plays, a lot of chunk plays, a lot of, like, it's not like the defense is, like, terrible either. It was just, like, a really good offensively coached game. They weren't great.
Defenses weren't great.
Bad.
Was that, like,
it wasn't great.
Well, like, the Patriots defense, I would argue, is bad. And the Eagles gave up, like, a decent amount of downfield throws on, like, those Brandon Cooks double moves early and, like, stuff like that. But, and, like, the Eagles did a great job on Gronk in the first half. Like, you can't –
yeah.
They just kind of threw everything at Gronk and hoped that everything else held, and it really didn't.
Yeah, no, there were just those random plays where, like, random Patriots receivers were just wide open.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, what's happening here? Like, but, no, it was a really fun game. As a Steelers fan, I'm happy to watch the Patriots lose almost any time they do. So it's just nice to see the Patriots on the wrong end of the on the stick there, you know, on the short end of the stick. They always get the good luck and always seem to be able to come back. Like, I was convinced the Eagles were going to lose pretty much until the clock hit zero.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I was really just convinced the Patriots were going to find a way to win that game. But, I mean, I was happy to see the Eagles win, actually. My guy Nick Foles probably going to get paid. So shouts out to him.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any other thoughts on the Super Bowl? are we moving past this one already?
No, I mean, I think it was interesting. Did you guys see that stat that I think it was the most total yards in any NFL game
in history?
So that's pretty
cool. NFL game?
No, I think it was,
Super Bowl. I don't know.
For real?
That's what I saw. Like? But I don't,
maybe
postseason. I don't know if that's true or not.
Mm-hmm. It was definitely Super Bowl. I know that.
Yeah, it might have been for sure Super Bowl. I have a hard time thinking it was regular season. Although, what did Brady throw for? Like 450 yards? Like 500 yards?
Over.
Yeah.
He threw for 500. Yeah. He had the most passing yards in Super Bowl.
Yeah, but like the fourth quarter, or by like the third quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, he broke his own record from last year. And then like Nick Foles has like 370, had like the fifth most ever. He had the fifth most, I think, ever in Super Bowl history. So, yeah, the offense was they were good.
It was the most ever, 1,151 combined yards, most ever in any game in NFL history.
God damn.
That's insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think part of that was, I think the teams had some big plays, so that led to them scoring pretty quickly. I think overall, both teams were throwing the ball a lot, so when you do that, I feel like you can move the ball up and down the field more quickly. But, I mean, when you just think about that, it seems insane to me because there's been, like, some Falcon Saints games that have been like blowouts. I mean, like, you know, shootouts or whatever. So
yeah,
it's kind of crazy that happens in a competitive Super Bowl game. You see that kind of result whenever you know the whole like slogan that defense wins championships or whatever.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, Nick Foles must have got that strip sack at the end of the game there.
Hey, I mean that's a good point. But the game wasn't over when that happened, though. That was the craziest part. They still had a decent chance, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I kind of felt stupid because right when after the Eagles scored there and the Patriots got the ball back with about, what was it, like 2 minutes left? I was like, well, you know, the Patriots have to come down and score now as time expires and destroy all of our dreams. And then, like, right after I send that tweet, like, Brady gets strip sacked and fumbles the ball. And I was like, well, I guess not. But
yeah, I mean, the crazy thing was, I feel like everyone was celebrating at that point. But, I mean, they got the field goal and then they're only up eight. So, realistically, the Patriots still have a pretty good chance. I think I want to talk to you guys about the decision at the end. I don't think it was a coaching decision. I think it was probably the players on the field where they received that short kickoff and they try like a pitch back to run it back. I didn't understand that at all because, you know, you might get lucky and break out and, you know, he gets a big gain. But I think the reality is the clock is way more precious than time at that point. Punted it short. That's why they had the short kickoff, because they wanted to try to run clock instead of just kicking out of the end zone. So I thought that was a pretty dumb decision by the Patriots.
Well, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I thought it was stupid. Like, because like you said, they wasted like an extra 5 or so seconds just by messing around there. And they didn't get anywhere.
They probably gave up like 6-7 yards.
Yeah. And it was just, I don't know, it just didn't work. Like I said, I guess I see the, like, you could break this, but like, I don't know. I feel like giving Tom Brady a couple extra yards and a couple extra seconds is probably better than trying to run a little trick play and break a touchdown. Like, I'm trusting Tom Brady there more than that play.
It's definitely different to, if like Blake Bortles is your quarterback. Like if the Jaguars did that, or like, you know, some team with a not great quarterback did that, I'd be like, okay, I get it. But if you have Tom Brady, like, I think the best chance is just to kind of let him, just let him go to work.
Yeah, you still, they still have like what, 1 minute left?
Yeah,
so, I mean, there's time.
Yeah, they was like 1 minute, like, 10 seconds left.
You could probably get to like the 40 or something, like at that point, and then like 30 maybe, and that's like a decent chance of scoring from there. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, even how they did, they got to like a pretty decent chance.
They still had a Hail Mary chance.
Yeah, imagine if you give them an extra like 15 yards from where they were. Like, that's pretty.
Yeah, I was fully convinced Gronk was gonna pull that.
Oh, I thought he did. For like half a second, I was like, don't tell me they caught it.
Yeah.
And Marshall, you were texting us about some bets, and, you know, we talked about that last week. How did you guys do? Did you guys place any bets? How did you guys do on that, if you did place any?
Yeah, not too well, unfortunately. I think I have to say I'm not going to say Nick Foles doubter, but I never thought he would have the type of performance he had that game. So, you know, props to him. He clearly deserved the MVP for winning that. But unfortunately, I bet pretty heavily on the Patriots, and then I hedged my bet with the running with Jai and Blunt for the Eagles. But you know, Nick Foles just tore up their defense pretty well, and I knew as soon as he caught that touchdown pass, I was like, if the Eagles somehow win this, there's no way he doesn't win MVP, because like that's the iconic play of the game, you know.
Mm-hmm. Especially after Brady dropped a pass like that earlier.
Yeah.
That was just like that was the greatest call ever.
Yeah. But, wait, Marshall, did you have Foles for MVP or no, you had a Jai?
So I had Foles, but I didn't bet heavily on him. So
I was gonna say I thought you
the
had
amount
Foles.
That I won. Yeah. So I bet like a very small amount on a Jai and Blunt because they had such huge like winnings if they actually won it. But for Foles, I only bet like $15, so the winnings were pretty minimal compared to the money I spent betting on the Patriots. I mean, Greg, you're 100% right. Patriots never blow out anyone in the Super Bowl. It seems like these games are always close, and even this one, like, it was very close until the very end.
Yeah,
like you guys all said, when they threw it up that Hail Mary, I was like, oh my god, he's gonna catch it, isn't he?
So I also found out for the first time yesterday that Jai Ajayi is from England.
Yeah.
Yeah,
did you
British.
Guys know this? Because I did not know this until yesterday, and I was shocked to find out.
Really?
I did not know that. Yeah, I did not know that. I've never heard him. Does he have a British accent?
I have no idea.
Because I've never heard him talk.
I haven't.
I've never heard him talk. And I know he went to Boise State, right?
I think so.
So I just assumed he was from the United States.
Yeah,
that's weird.
I had no reason to think otherwise, because I was like, oh, he went to Boise State. I never heard him talk, so I was like, but I found out yesterday he was from
that's
England,
weird.
So that was pretty cool. No, yeah. So you guys good on the Super Bowl then?
I am.
The other thing I wanted to discuss maybe was, so what are the Eagles going to do with their quarterback situation? Do you guys know the contracts for them?
Like, well, this is one more year.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was like a rumor before the Super Bowl even started that they were like looking to trade Nick Foles. So
I mean, they're going to get a first round pick for him, I think.
Yeah, like I think they probably should look into trading him. Like, I know you like to have a quarterback that's obviously capable of winning you a Super Bowl as your backup, but I just think this is like a classic kind of sell high situation, because like Mark said, you probably get a first round pick for him, and it's like, he's not necessary. Like, I mean, you might want to wait. I don't know if they want to wait and make sure that, like,
well, Wentz is gonna
Carson Wentz is
well,
good.
Yeah, Wentz. Like, one, Wentz. Like, who knows if he's good? And two, he's gonna at least miss the beginning of the season next year.
Yeah, well, not like good as in like good at football. I mean, like
healthy. Yeah, well, that's like, one reason. And then, like, cool. Also, like, you need a backup for at least the first couple games, and who knows how long. I don't know how long he's going to be out, but a little bit for the beginning of next year. So, I don't know. Yeah. If you want to at least put yourself in a position to have it next year, then keep him, because you have him on contract for next year. So, you could, I mean, you could look trade him, or you keep the Super Bowl MVP, and you trade Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz.
I don't know. I don't know. Would you consider?
I don't think so. No. Probably not. No.
I think it's not a far thing to say that I think Carson Wentz is already one of the 8 best quarterbacks in the league.
But he's injured. Who knows when he's coming back?
But
I think if he was healthy the full season, he was probably going to win MVP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like,
so I mean, yeah, probably. He's good. He's good. Yeah.
You could probably also hold Foles till the trade deadline next year. I mean, provided he doesn't, like, start the year off shitty starting for Wentz. Like, if Wentz comes back, like, week 4 or week 5, and you want to flip him at the deadline, like, that's still on the table,
yeah,
too.
I actually kind of like that, too, yeah, because there might be a team that loses a quarterback to an in-game to contend for the playoffs. They might try to swoop in. Like, it would be like this year with the Packers once Rodgers went down. If they could have trained to get a good QB, they would have done it in a heartbeat, I feel like.
Yeah, or you could find a situation where, like, you know, like we had this year, where like Brian Hoyer was starting football games, like the 5th week,
yeah,
and you know, some team wants an actual quarterback on the team, but
or you could just trade him to the Browns for like 3 first round picks because the Browns would do that.
Well, the Browns are probably going to get their quote unquote quarterback of the future in the draft. So.
Oh God, I have to so bad for whoever they take.
They're going to take somebody.
They're going to take like 3 quarterbacks.
Yeah, they're gonna take like Darnold first overall, and then if like Rosen's or Allen is still there at 4, just take him, just double up.
Why not?
We have to hit on one of them, right?
And then the next guy is just gonna be fantastic, but they're gonna miss on him.
Yeah. Whatever one of those like 3 they don't take is gonna be the one that ends up being really good. We'll move on. We're going to talk about some TV.
Yes.
All right. So we've all been watching The Assassination of Gianni Versace, the second season of the American Crime Story series, which was last year. Season 1 was The People versus O.J. Simpson, which was really good. I don't know, did any of you guys watch that one?
I watched it. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that one, too. Marshall, Greg, did you watch that or no?
I did not.
I did not.
No. Jeez. I've always wanted to, but then I watched the O.J. documentary on ESPN.
Yeah, what's that?
Which I thought was, but that was really OJ. Good.
That was fantastic. That was really exceptional.
Yeah, so we've all watched the 3 episodes that are out as of us recording this.
Yep.
We're all caught up. So what do you guys think so far? Do you guys like it?
I'm in on this show. I think it's pretty good. I'm in. I'm hella in, dude. All right, so first of all, this is like I feel like this is really different from like what they did last season.
Yeah.
Because I feel like last season most people like knew that story, and yeah, like even if you didn't know like everything, like you at least knew kind of like the and like what happened.
Yeah, and you knew the glove thing and all that crap. I'm the same way. I knew a lot more about that. I knew nothing about this before watching the show. Nothing.
I wouldn't have even known, like, if you told me Gianni Versace was assassinated. I don't even think I would have known.
Oh
that.
Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah. Like, if you would have told me Gianni Versace was still alive, what? I would have believed.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have had no reason.
Guys, the M&M line. Hey, it's me, Versace. Whoops, somebody shot me. That's really the only reason I know that, honestly.
Yeah, no, but I
know, Mark, you know that line?
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't get all my news from Eminem rap line.
I had no idea. That.
I wish I did, though. It would be great.
Yeah, but...
Crazy.
He was assassinated, what, like, it was 97, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we were all, like, 2.
Yeah.
I really wasn't aware of this event, but yeah, anyway, continue, Greg, with what you were saying about how you ran on it.
But then, so like, I didn't really know that much about it, and then you kind of like start it and you're like, oh, it's just he just gets shot whatever. It's just kind of like whatever. And then like it's just the show just like builds, and like the first three episodes I feel like have just been like slowly expanding like the universe, because at first you're kind of just like, all right, just this guy that shot him. You don't really know who he is or anything like that. And then all of a sudden you go and you're like, you realize he's like a serial killer. And then all of a sudden they go back, what, like 3 months or whatever, or 2 months, to him killing this other guy who was like also really famous and well known.
He's like a real estate.
Yeah,
like,
real
estate. Yeah, Lee was, or something.
I forget what his name was. Miglin or something like that.
Yeah, Lee Miglin, yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like it's just, it's like drawn me in because it just like makes the story like much more interesting now. And it's like across the country, like chase to find this killer.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. I really liked how they like showed you like, okay, like in the first episode, they show him shooting Gianni Versace. And it's like, all right, it happened. And then like from then, it's kind of been like just expanding outwards of like how they got to this point. And it's like, I feel like it's a really interesting way of telling it instead of just showing you like in a linear fashion, like they started here and the ending was him killing him. It was like, here's him killing him. And then here's how he got there. I really like how they told it that way instead. I feel like it is a lot more interesting. And the dude, Darren Criss, who plays Andrew Cunanan, who is the dude that killed Gianni Versace, is like really good in this.
Yeah, he's like freaking creepy, man.
Yeah, dude, he is so good. Like, like he actually scares me. Like,
yeah,
he's been incredible.
Yeah, so I guess I'm coming in the same perspective as Greg, having not watched the first season, so I didn't really know how the show was formatted or what it was going to be like. I would say maybe I had a different reaction than Greg, because I definitely saw the first episode. You know, I'm the same way. I didn't know that much. I just know that Versace was killed. Because of Eminem Blonde, of course. But
yes, of course.
I didn't know any of the details. I didn't know, oh, it was by a serial killer today or whatever. But I don't know. I think maybe because I didn't know those details, like the first episode, and I would say the second episode too, I was like kind of following it, but not super into it. I think this, the third episode really is what hooked me. I think this was like the turning point for me with the series, where it felt kind of like a slog going through the first two episodes where I'm like, okay, nothing's really happening. But I think the third episode, how they showed him with Lee, Andrew Cunanan, and then I think the most interesting part was, because I just watched it, whenever he's, you know, driving across the country or whatever, and they find out, oh, there's a, you know, they're tracking his phone in his car. And he kind of stops by, like a rest station on the highway, and he's approaching this lady with a gun to, like, steal her car. But then he realizes, like, oh, I'm out in the public. And then he sees a guy and he thinks, you know what, instead of like just taking this car off the lady, which I could do here pretty easily, I'm going to go follow this guy home and steal the car off him. And then not only that, when he gets there, he goes out of his way to purposely murder the guy as well.
Yeah.
I think, you know, obviously
pretty rough.
If you leave him alive, he's going to call the cops and they're going to be on your trail because they know the car that you took. But the guy was literally like, please, I have a family, I have a son or whatever, I really want to see them again. Like, mid-sense, he just dead. So, I think I'm definitely more intrigued with the serial killer aspect than I thought it would be, because I think the real challenge for this show, compared to another show I'm going to talk about in a bit, Twin Peaks, is that, like you said, the first episode is, okay, you see the murder. So, what we're kind of finding out is, like, his backstory, his motivation, like what led to this happening. And I wasn't super into it at first, but I think as these episodes go on, I'm getting more invested in the characters. I really don't like the sister. Can I just say that? I find her completely unlikable. Maybe that's the point, but like every scene with her, I'm just like, man,
Donatella.
Stop. Get her off. Donatella. No, I hate her.
Penelope Cruz.
It was hilarious. Yeah, it was hilarious in the last episode. I think it was episode 2 actually, where they had like the fake one, like bang on the, hey, let me in Versace. It was like some random drug thing, which I thought was kind of funny.
No, yeah, but like, because you guys say you didn't watch last season. The OJ one was kind of told as like the first episode was kind of similar, where it kind of like showed what happened.
Yeah.
Did it show like OJ killing?
No, it showed it showed like the perspective of like some
the police officers.
Yeah. Right? And like the one guy, the one witness who was sitting outside of his house, remember, like he was like a driver. I can't remember what he, I think he was his driver or something. and he like saw him like OJ like come back in the house, like run in and like park his car on the other side or something. And it like they like showed like the night of it happening from like other people's perspectives that like witnessed it.
Okay.
And then the rest of it was just the trial.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
So like that one was kind of like a linear story of like here's the event and then here's the trial and how he got off and everything.
Okay.
So like this yeah. this one's structured a lot differently.
Yeah. I really like that they're jumping around a lot
mm-hmm.
because obviously if they ended it with like the killing of Versace, it would be kind of underwhelming because that's where everyone would expect it to end and it wouldn't be like a big reveal. But I really like that mm-hmm. they kind of started with the murder of him
mm-hmm.
and now we're working backwards into like how did we get here?
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that, cuz like you said, if you just like show like, cuz like you said, the assassination of him is the whole is it's literally the title of the show. So it's like,
yeah,
that's the main thing that happens. So it's like you just show that first and it's like, all right, we're just going to show everything that led up to this. And that makes a lot more interesting because it's like when your climax of the show, like at the end, is the title of the show, I feel like it's not as like,
well, yeah, they weren't just going to be like, oh yeah, this guy got killed.
Yeah, exactly.
Knew that basically.
Yeah.
But it is.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see where the show goes. Cause I think the third episode was like a big change based on the first two. Cause I was kind of with you, Marshall, for the first two. I was kind of like, this is okay. But I really like the third one. And I think the reason is because it like, it basically, like it didn't really focus on Versace at all.
He didn't even appear in the episode.
Yeah. Right? He wasn't in it.
Yeah.
The sister wasn't in it. His lover or whatever wasn't in it. It was all about basically.
Yeah. We didn't get any Ricky Martin man butt.
Yeah, exactly. It was the only thing connecting them was the killer, Kunana.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like I am much more into a show that we're just going to like follow him and like try to catch him. Like yeah, I almost and even
I'm way more invested in him because he's an actual psychopath.
Yeah, and he's,
so he's way like, more interesting.
He's a more interesting character. I'm kind of out on the whole like Donatella Versace relationship, like whatever.
I'm out on that. Yeah. I don't really need to see Donatello Versace and Gianni Versace's like boyfriend Argue. Or whatever. Like I'm not invested in that.
Yeah. I almost wish they would just like go all in and make this like a cop show or something, or like a detective show where they're just like chasing him across the country. Cause even the third episode, like they went a little too in on the dude that got killed, his wife, Miglin or whatever.
Yeah.
Like she was like almost...
She was like the main character.
Yeah, she probably had the most screen time, and like it was fine. I get it. You kind of want to discuss like how this whole series of events is affecting other people, but I don't know. It kind of would be more interesting to just like let's have like a chase across the country to find this serial killer. That's kind of I feel like that's more interesting to me at least.
Yeah,
Greg, let me tell you about this fantastic show on CBS called Criminal Minds, and I just need to shout out. Deceptively Athletic podcast brought to you by Criminal Minds. no, but I agree with you 100%. Like, I think the whole serial killer, like, background motivation to me is much more interesting than Versace himself. I think the other thing that's telling about this show is, like, you mentioned how in the first season it was mainly about, like, the courtroom drama around OJ. Like, I have no idea how this is going to end. I don't know if they catch him, if they kill him, if he stands trial, what happens with Andrew Kunana.
Yeah, don't Google it.
I'd rather just find out organically through the show.
Yeah, I've been like making a very conscious effort to not figure out what happens to him ahead of time because I think that's like the realistic endpoint of the show, and I kind of don't want to ruin the last episode for myself by like seeing what happens to him.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you guys on that one. I've been trying not to look up stuff, but I have failed. But I won't.
All right, don't ruin it then.
I won't ruin it for you guys.
I think I know, but I don't really know how it happens. So I think that's still gonna be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. But all right, you guys want to talk about any other shows that you've been watching lately? You guys have been watching anything interesting?
Tony, tell me about Cloverfield. Because I've heard some things, man. I've heard some bad.
I've heard it's trash.
All right, I wouldn't call it trash. But I also very rarely call anything I watch trash. But it definitely, because I just watched it last night, and it's kind of like, it does kind of tie, like, make you kind of understand why a bunch of crazy stuff's happening in the first two. But but like,
okay,
it's kind of like, so basically it's a crew of people who go in, on some space station to like try and use some particle accelerator that's like the most powerful one ever constructed, and it's like too dangerous to like use on Earth, so they go make a space station specifically for it, because like this is like in the near future, like the world is like running out of like resources, so they need to create energy, and like this particle accelerator is going to like create a like forever sustainable source of energy. So basically it looks like it's going to work, and then it overpowers, and then it like crashes together like the dimensions, like every dimension in the world somehow, like in the universe, like multiverses and everything. It's really kind of confusing. But like, it's kind of funny because at the beginning of the movie, there's like a dude on the news that they show, and he's like talking about like, because the space station they're on is called Cloverfield, because you know they have to tie Cloverfield into it.
Of course.
But and it's, so he calls it the Cloverfield paradox, and he's like some like alarmist dude who's like, look, they're gonna like ruin the whole entire world, because he's like, this is powerful enough to, like, it's like exactly what he said. Like, he's like, every dimension's gonna come crashing together, and like, there's going to like unleash demons and monsters and crap. Like that's like actually what he says. And then it actually happens. Oh. So then they get sent to another dimension. And then like, so they can't find Earth. Like they got, like Earth is gone.
Are they still on the space station or whatever?
Yeah, they're on the space station. And it's like, so there's like people from like every country. Like there's like a United States dude, a British lady, a woman from, So then just a bunch of random crap just happens on the space station like for no reason other than like we're in a different dimension. Like that's it, that's the only explanation for stuff. Like they basically use that as a crutch to just do random stuff to people, like, and it kind of doesn't make any sense. Like, and then at the end, like they like every like a bunch of people just die because random things happen, for like I said, the sole explanation of we're in a different dimension. And then they come back, and it's only two of them left. And the main character is a woman, I can't remember her name. Her name is something really, can't pronounce it. But she was in the San Junipero episode of Black Mirror.
Okay.
She was, and then the other dude is Daniel Brühl. I don't know if you guys know who he is. He was in Captain America Civil War. He was like the villain dude. So like they're the two main characters. Okay. They get back at the end. And then they like, so they come back. And then they find, and then like they call like mission control, and then they come back and they call the one woman's husband, and it's like, oh, she's coming back. We're bringing her back. And he's like freaking out, and he's like, don't send her back. Like there are all these, with all these monsters here. So like basically they come back and they come down, and as soon as they go through the clouds, like a huge like monster that looks exactly like the monster from the original Cloverfield, like pops its head up through the clouds and like screeches, and the movie ends. So basically they mashed together all these dimensions and like unleashed like monsters on the world, and like,
so this is like, is this like a prequel almost?
It's kind of like, because basically when the dude says at the beginning is it'll affect all dimensions in the future and in the past. So like the prevailing theory of from like this movie is,
oh, man,
like all of these movies take place on different Earths.
Oh,
so like, because like the monster on this Earth that they're on looks way bigger than the one from the original Cloverfield. And the original Cloverfield looks like it takes place like the current time 10 years ago when it was made. Yeah. And this one looks futuristic. So they think it's like that, like that monster came up in a different Earth in the past. And then the monsters from 10 Cloverfield Lane are on a different Earth. And then this is a different. So basically, they're just like, here's a movie, dude, as to these people, like, basically, like, ruining the whole entire world, and like how all these weird monster things have happened all in the same universe, essentially. Really not that good.
Yeah, I've heard, and it kind of sounds like it from what you're saying, that it's like it wasn't originally made as like a Cloverfield movie, and then they kind of just like attached Cloverfield onto it at the end to like.
Oh, no, see, I heard that's what 10 Cloverfield Lane was. I think this one was specifically made to try and link the other two together.
Oh, really?
Because I heard 10 Cloverfield Lane was written as a completely separate movie, and then J.J. Abrams
was like, I could definitely see that.
Hey, I like this. I'm going to try and tie it into Cloverfield. And then this one was specifically made to try and connect those two together. That's how I read it. But okay. Yeah, it really wasn't.
I mean, great. Based on that plot,
I don't think I've even seen the second.
Man, that sounds exactly what I heard online. It's like, it's just some like sci-fi channel shit where it's like, the movie's just ridiculous. Like, whatever. See, because, like, premise-wise, like, I'm interested because it sounds like the first part you were describing. It's like, it's kind of like Alien where you have a crew where they're slowly getting kicked off one by one.
It seems really promising.
That could be good, yeah.
Yeah, and then it's just like nothing. And it's like every time one of the characters dies, like you don't care as a viewer. And like it doesn't even seem like the people on the ship care either. Like they just, like these people die they've been living with for like 2 years, supposedly. They've been on the space station for like 2 years. And then it's just like, oh, well, like they just move on. Nothing. Like there's almost no reaction. Like it's just weird. Like at one point, the one guy's like fixing some like stuff on the ship and then the wall just like eats his arm. That's like dope. For no reason. Like it's just no reason. Like I don't know. While I was watching it, I was like, all right. And I just kept watching. I was like, okay. And then at the end, I was like, that wasn't very good. Like, I don't know. I just like kept holding out hope that it was going to get good. And then it just didn't. And I was like, well, this is kind of disappointing.
It was a dope release though.
Yeah.
They hyped it up well.
Do you guys actually think that like now, like streaming services, cause like, you know, the post Super Bowl TV episode, like, this year was like the This Is Us one. Yeah. Is like always a big deal. Is this going to be a thing now that like shows start trying to release a movie or a TV show like post Super Bowl?
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I kind of think this was a game changer marketing and like released wise.
Yeah, it was really smart.
Yeah. I would love for it to just like not be after the Super Bowl though, because I'm usually just like tired and like I just watch TV for like, I don't know. I never understood. Post Super Bowl show gets such good ratings because
everybody like, has the channel on. Everybody has that channel on, yeah, so it just gets huge ratings because people have it on.
People just leave it on, and it's like, oh, all their friends leave. It's like, oh, I never turn the TV off. Whoops.
Well, and the West Coast, it's like 8 p.m. So like, what else are you gonna do?
And
but okay, also, so that makes sense for you guys. Yeah.
Yeah, if it's on the East Coast, it's like 11 p.m. Like most people just go to bed. But
yeah.
Well, also like. If there are some people who just, like, keep their TVs on and keep watching, like, The Office did the fire episode, the one where Dwight causes a fire in the office immediately after the Super Bowl. And I feel like if you hadn't seen The Office and you just happened to watch that episode, it might really, like, pull you in. So I kind of feel like they try to do these big episodes to try to catch people who haven't seen anything before and then, like, really just kind of hook you in.
No, yeah, I don't watch This Is Us. But, like, apparently that was, like, a huge episode because, like, my mom watches it and I know a bunch of people that watch it. And, like, the whole thing is, like, it's, like, from what I understand, it's, like, the main group of characters. It's from, like, multiple points in their life that you, like, watch them. So it's, like, you see them when they're kids and then when they're, like, teenagers or something and then we're adults. And, like, their dad dies somehow and you don't know how. And that episode showed you, like, how he died. So apparently that was, like, their big... like reveal episode of the series, so it's like they also put like a really big important episode right after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, my mom loves that show. I'm sure she liked that one.
Yeah,
shout out to my mom.
But now that I've like rambled on for like 10 plus minutes about the Cloverfield Paradox, do you guys have anything else you're watching that you want to mention? Marshall, I know you've been watching Marshall. And you've been trying to get us to watch it.
So did you guys watch the pilot or no?
I watched the entire first season.
I haven't. I did.
I watched it over the summer. Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Did you like it?
I liked it. I think it's good in like early on, and then I think I don't know, the end of like season two gets a little weird, but I did like it overall mostly.
Yeah, that's what everyone says. But here's my hot take. I actually, you know, I can't talk to the entire series because like, 3 episodes in. But I generally believe on the TV shows, but that pilot episode is the best pilot episode I've ever seen for a TV show. No pilot has ever sold me so quickly on a show. It's like, oh my God, I need to see what happens. So I guess one of the issues I have with Assassination of John, it's not fault the show for, because it's just the reality is, one, it's a true story. So they're basically based on facts. So it's like, okay, you know, you kind of see what happens. You see, like, okay, I know this guy killed him. So there's no, like, inherent mystery involved behind his murder in that, in respect.
And because it is like a real life thing, you might have known about the story beforehand. The thing that Peaks does so well in the pilot episode is they open with a girl being murdered, and there's no context, no evidence, no one knows how it happened. And even within the first episode, they have enough like revelations about the murder that's really going on in this like small, I think, like in the backwoods of Washington.
Yeah.
So I just feel like no show has ever captivated me as much, because I think they do a really creating mystery, but also giving enough to the viewer, enough hints to the viewer, where you're like trying to figure it out on yourself, like what's exactly going on. It is like an hour and a half, so it's a really long pilot time to work with to create that atmosphere. But I think a lot of the characters are well written. I think it's really, like I said, the best pilot I've ever seen. I think the other amazing thing about the show is it literally came out in 19. On, I think it was like on Fox or NBC or something.
Yeah.
So this is like, I think I haven't watched a lot of board TV, but I feel like this is, again, it could get worse. I'm sure it does based on what people have been saying online. But this
it just
is
gets weird.
By far. Yeah. It just gets really strange.
It gets weird.
They do have like, they do have some supernatural stuff, which I think is fine because like it's not a true story. And I find that kind of sci-fi like sprinkled in really intriguing. But I think it's probably the strongest start of any show that I've ever seen. Because I think of the shows that I really love, I would say like Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones. I think House of Cards starts out really strong as well. I think that's another show I've enjoyed recently. I don't like whether all, but the first couple of seasons, especially, you know, when you first start watching that show, I think they do a really good job of drawing you in with intrigue and setting up the characters. But outside of House of Cards, like, I don't think any of the shows I've enjoyed, like, really have started strongly. I think that's mainly focused on dramas, because with comedies, I feel like most of them can actually have strong and comedies kind of grow on you as you get to know the characters more. But I think with dramas especially, it's important to have a captivating first episode.
No, yeah, I actually think comedies usually start out slower and not as good to me and grow on you as they go. That's how I've kind of, because like,
yeah,
I've noticed that too.
I feel like with comedies for me, though, is I can watch the first couple episodes without feeling like I'm forcing myself to.
Yeah.
Just to see what type of humor they're going for, if that humor like gels with me or not. And I can usually tell pretty quick, okay, I'm really going to like this show. Like The Office, I think like it's really funny. Or like, versus like a different show, I can't even think of an example. I guess maybe like The Big Bang Theory, which like, yeah, I've seen a couple episodes. I don't find this humor funny. Most shows with laugh tracks, honestly, I don't find it. So I can tell very quickly whether I'm going to like them or not. I don't really want to get into too much detail here because you guys haven't seen it and Greg's seen all of it, so I can't really discuss it that much.
No, yeah, I'll try and start that. I just like randomly started a bunch of different shows recently. Like I'm like halfway through the first season of Fargo, which is really good.
That's good.
That's a pilot. The pilot of that is incredible too.
Oh yeah, that's really good. I forget exactly what happens in the pilot, but yeah, that's
a bunch of crazy stuff.
Yeah, the beginning of that show is crazy.
No, yeah, that's really good.
Is that on? What is that on? Is that on FX?
Yeah, it's on FX. I've been watching the first season on Hulu.
Oh yeah.
Okay,
but have you guys watched Ozark?
I have not watched it yet.
All right. Yeah, the pilot of that is pretty good too.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to watch that too.
But talking about pilots,
I started. Yeah, I've watched the first two or three episodes of the Netflix show End of the Effing World.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about that.
Yeah, that looks interesting.
Like I said, I'm only like two or three episodes in, and it's pretty good. It's just, it's really quick. They're only like 20-some minute episodes.
Yeah, so 20 minutes.
And there's only
like eight of them.
There's only eight of them, so I'm probably going to get through it here kind of soon. But like I said, I've been watching Fargo and then Versace when it's on, and then that. And then I also started another Netflix show that just came out, Altered Carbon. Did you guys see anything about that?
I've heard about that one. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it is. The premise is really cool, and like the universe is really cool. But it's like kind of confusing because it's like a world too. They like just kind of just drop you in, and it's like a futuristic world. They just have so much like lingo that I just like don't really like. It takes you a while to catch on, to like what they're talking about. But like it's pretty interesting. I've only watched two episodes of that, and it's pretty interesting. But I don't know. Joel Kinnaman is making a living off of Netflix though. He's been like this is like his third or something Netflix show that he's been in. Because he was in House of Cards. He's the one the guy that runs against Kevin Spacey's character in season 5. Is that or 4?
Yeah. Yep.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Marshall?
Yeah, the Republican.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I think his name's Conway. Is that what it is?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's Conway. And then he's in the one show The Killing. I've never watched that, but I know he's in that too. But now he's pretty good in it. And like I said, it's interesting. I'm gonna keep watching it. I'm not like huge on it, but I'm probably gonna keep watching that. But Boss Man, you been watching anything?
Nah, not really. Just
nothing.
Versace. I was gonna try to watch The Handmaid's Tale next.
Oh yeah,
I've heard that's also, really good.
That's also on my list, but I haven't gotten to that yet either.
Yeah, I was thinking of watching that because I got like a free subscription or a 1 month subscription of Hulu, so I might try it.
That is a Hulu one. Okay,
yeah, it's on Hulu.
For a second, I thought it might have been Amazon, no, but it's Hulu.
Yeah,
Mark, what about you? I know you're not a huge
TV. I've actually just gotten into. I saw the first episode of it. It's a Netflix series called Dirty Money. It's 6 like hour or so separate documentaries.
Oh yeah,
I just watched the first one about Volkswagen. And it's pretty much about like how they sold clean diesel cars that weren't actually like clean diesel, and then like
classic.
all the corruption. Yeah, their emissions scandal and everything that went to like them trying to like fight and everything like that. And it's a bunch of unconnected episodes. Like I looked ahead and there's one about like a race car driver who like builds like a secret empire on like shady deals, and like how HSBC Bank was tied to like a Mexican cartel. And the series finale is shockingly about Donald Trump.
Nice.
But
I
watched the first episode of that, and it was really good, and I'm just really interested in that. It highlights all the evils of capitalism. So, really,
that sounds
really
interesting.
Plain to me right there.
Yeah, we should watch that one. So, one, I just bought that movie pass. Greg, you heard about that?
Oh yeah.
Like, Tony, $5.
I've been meaning to buy that for like months, and I just haven't done it.
Yeah, so it's $10 a month, and basically you just go to any movie theater with the card, just swipe it and get a ticket, and you can only see one movie per day. But the good thing is, like, there's a movie theater apartment that's basically showing all of the Oscar movies. So
that's dope.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna use it a lot. Catch up and see all the movies I want to see. But I guess the one I want to talk about is Get Out. Have you guys all seen that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I think I was the only one who had it. So I want to say, like, I understood, like, going into it, like, there was a lot of hype. And, like, I was like, okay, like, this movie is, like, everyone I've seen has loved it or whatever. But it absolutely delivered on that hype. It was such a thrilling movie where I was on the edge of my seat basically the whole time. I think the interesting part was I kind of figured out early on like what was kind of going on, but the part that kind of caught me off guard at the beginning was how instead of just like brainwashing them and turning them into slaves, like, you know, putting their new minds into these people, so like they're almost completely different people. Like that was such a unique twist. And I think the really cool thing about that, I was kind of reading some discussion on this online, was that kind of added to the sense of the movie, which I feel was 100% true. It was just such a perfectly crafted movie in the sense that every scene had like greater importance that you wouldn't realize at initial viewing. Like, I don't know if you guys remember this, but whenever they get pulled over when they're driving to the girlfriend's house and the police officer asks for the main character's like license, his girlfriend like defends him and says like, hey, you shouldn't need that. Why would you need that? And at the time you think like, oh yeah, she's like not racist or whatever, she's sticking up for him. But in reality, she's like trying to remove like any sense of like a paper trail leading to him.
And then the whole scene wherever the
I didn't even think of that.
But yeah, dude, I guess. Like, it's insane. If you read about it, like, basically every scene has like greater importance when you actually think about it. The other part was like the one scene wherever it's just like running straight at him and you're like, what the hell is going on? This seems really weird. That was because, like, it's actually the grandfather in his body, and because he lost to Jesse Owens, he was, like, training on running, basically.
Yeah, yeah, I caught that one.
Yeah. Yeah, there were, like, a couple things like that, where just earlier in scenes where you're like, what is going on? This seems really weird, that when you actually think about it, it makes a ton of sense. I think such a satisfying moment whenever he goes on that rampage and just fucking like gets the deer antlers and fucking just slams the dad. Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
I literally like I shouted out like fuck yeah. I was so excited.
Man.
It was just such an expertly crafted movie. It was really smart with how they played up the intrigue. It kept me guessing for a large part, and even when it didn't keep me guessing, I was still on the edge of my seat because there was just so much tension that was expertly done. It's definitely one of my favorites I've seen this year. That's
yeah,
my bit on that.
No, I agree on all those points. That movie was super good. I saw that in theaters, like when it came out. And like that was one of my favorite in theater experiences of 2017. Like my
I bet the crowd was getting into it too.
Yeah, they were getting super hype when what was his friend's name? I know the actor
TSA
is like,
agent.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know his name.
When he got out of the cop car at the end, everybody got super hype because everybody was super shook because everybody in that theater was convinced there was going to be an actual police officer and he was going to get shot.
Yeah. Like, well, that's like
we all thought it. So when it was him, everybody was so excited. It was hilarious.
Yeah, when you were saying that, Marshall, about the police officer, I kept thinking like that was such a good moment because then it set up the next moment at the end when the cop car pulls up and you're like, "Are you kidding me?" Like they're gonna catch him, and then all of a sudden it's like TSA agent. You're so hyped for that. It's hilarious. Also, that character is hilarious too. The TSA agent.
Yeah. I can't remember his name. But he was so good.
Rod Williams. I just looked it up. Oh yeah. The other thing I wanted to touch on, kind of related to what I was saying, had an extra meaning. Like you watched the movie initially and like the whole like weird like auction thing that was going on. Like I didn't really understand like they were selling him off until they just with like the bingo cards where they were basically like a slave auction, which I thought was like a really smart illusion there. But I think the thing that was really interesting was like whenever he's interacting with all, they're asking him like super weird questions that kind of play up like the awkwardness between like white people talking to a black person, basically like white races, like because like they play up like, oh, like yeah, you little tiger, whatever, like how's your golf swing?
No, and yeah, they're interviewing
that
him
is because exactly not only they're checking his skills, they're checking his body skills because they're looking to take over his body.
But well, yeah, like that's why the art gallery guy ends up winning it because he's the blind art gallery guy. He has a good eye for like taking photos and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought like because at the time when I was watching it, I didn't understand that they were actually looking to take over his body. I still thought it was more like, okay, they're just going to turn him into a slave for one of these people. But I think like even just the dialogue between them, like they did it like it just did a really good job of like capturing that kind of like awkward like not blatant racism, but just like awkward like interactions with like white people don't know how to interact with black people, you know.
Yeah, like with like the classic like you go to the, you're a golf fan, you're like, oh, you like Tiger? Like that, like exactly the same.
Yeah. yeah, exactly. It's just like so cringeworthy just watching it. It's like, oh my god. Like this is probably what my grandpa would say if I brought him like a black friend or whatever.
That movie was definitely one of, I can't remember where I put it on my favorite movies of the year, but it was definitely high up.
We should do a top five movies of last year after the Oscars. I think that'll be a good episode.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm down for that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Get Out's my number one.
Mark's gonna have to step up his movie game. But
Get Out's my number one. It's the only movie I've watched this year in theaters.
Damn.
Jeez, Mark. Well, I snuck in another one in 2017. because I saw, or because technically Jumanji came out in 2017, and I saw that. So that was my
anything worth discussing with that one. It seems like
it was good.
Seems fine.
I liked it. It was it was good. I liked it. It was funny.
It's got The Rock. It's got Kevin Hart.
Yeah. Yeah, the
that's
Rock
one of the movies I could see using my movie pass on. Just like, oh, whatever, I'll go see it.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be like, entertaining.
Yeah, it's an entertaining movie. Jack Black is hilarious in it.
Oh yeah, he's in it too.
And I do I like The Rock and Kevin Hart together. They're kind of have a funny little chemistry together. Because like it's just kind of funny to look at because The Rock is like humongous and Kevin Hart's super tiny. But
didn't they do like a cop movie together too?
Yeah, Central Intelligence. Like
that. Yeah,
that one was pretty funny.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, this was the Deceptively Athletic podcast. Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and rate us. And
sponsored by Criminal Minds.
Review us and all that. Not sponsored by
Criminal Minds. And Dated Power Washing.
Yeah. And and since Marshall, you know, plugged MoviePass, that's moviepass.com, promo code whatever promo code is.
Deceptively Athletic podcast.
Yeah,
that's too long.
Nope. Type it on.
All right. Well, for Mark. Well, for Mark, Greg, and Marshall, I am Tony Romanello. Thanks for listening. Peace.
Peace.
See you.